Support for today's episode comes from OMG Yes. Do you wish to learn hundreds of mental and physical and communication techniques? Then you need to check out OMG Yes. It's an online resource tool with access to 300 plus honest and funny interviews, demonstration videos, animations, and infographics. Think of it as like YouTube for your relationship or all your sex questions, all right? And best of all, it's for everyone, women, men, couples. And if you want to learn about squirting, edging, how to use sex toys, this is the place for you. It's no monthly subscription, right? You just pay a one-time fee and you get access to all of these great tools. So you want to click the link that's in the show notes and on theboonybreakdown.com.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Boonie, and you're listening to the Boonie Breakdown Podcast, your source for all things responsible and ratchet.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode. We are back, and we have the homie Sheikah is here this week. We do a shit that hits different. It may be controversial. You may have already seen the episode title in your podcast app. But we do a shit that hits different, Love Jones edition. We talk about the characters, the space and time this movie captured in Black culture. But we want to know if there's anybody out there who agrees with us and our thoughts on Love Jones. There may be an apology to KG in this episode as well. And after we talk about Love Jones, we have a little quick kiki, and she could let us get all up in her business about her niggabatical, right? She is on a niggabatical, and I love that word. So stick around for the conversation. All right, so let's hop right into my pick of the week. And I don't know, this might be a controversial pick too, because I know so many people are Target over Walmart, but you can ask my friends. I'm somebody, I shop at Walmart because they are significantly cheaper, and my pick of the week is particularly Walmart Plus. I've been noticing recently that Amazon Prime, the prices have gone crazy. Like the toilet paper that I like to get, the seventh generation, it's like a bulk thing. It's over on Amazon. I normally buy it, and it used to be like $27 when I would order it. And I looked, it's $57. But the same thing over on Walmart Plus, it's $20. So guess where I am? Right now they're running, I think, for Black Friday, like their Walmart Plus membership for $49. And I'm not getting paid for this. I'm not an affiliate. But I just like putting y'all on shit because everything is high and we can all save some money. So I know we're so tied to Amazon Prime. But what I will say so far, Amazon Prime has been slipping because the little 2-day delivery ain't been too dang, okay? And so Walmart Plus, some things I've gotten same day, some things I got the very next day, and everything on there has been significantly cheaper than things that I typically buy on Amazon. So I'm not saying to replace them. I share Amazon with Mama Ratchet, and so I bought Walmart Plus, so we're going to share that. But right now, I think it's like half off for the first year if you sign up. So maybe some additional savings over there for things that you already buy. And then you don't have to go in the store. You can do it on the thing. But Walmart is definitely trying to be Amazon's competitor, and I'm here for it, okay? Because Amazon had the shit unlocked, and they got us all fucked up right now.
Housekeeping. Housekeeping.
Come back later, please.
Housekeeping?
Not now.
So first things first, we're going to get into Whips, Tassels, and Paint Oh My with the Sweet Spot Nation. That was last week's episode. So many of you really enjoyed it, and I was happy to get some messages where folks were saying, oh my God, I've heard about them, I've seen them, but since it's Boonie approved, you were going to go check it out. So that was really exciting for me to see. I'm glad you all were into the episode. And if you have not listened to it, then go back and check out last week's episode with The Sweet Spot. It's a Black traveling burlesque show. Very sexy. It's a good date night. It's a good girls' night, but definitely a good date night activity. So check them out when they come to your city. Also, remember, Patreon gang, we have a new book club happening. We are reading the Ratchet classic, revisiting it, Confessions of a Video Vixen by Superhead Corinne Steffens. I will say I am reading it right now and looking at some things different because I just thought it'd be very interesting to revisit this book almost 20 years later as an adult And guess knowing what we know about some of the people she, you know, exposed in the book. Just very interesting reading this as an adult. So if you want to join Patreon and join our book club and our private chat we have, you can head on over to patreon.com/theboonie breakdown and you can support for as low as $3 a month. There's a breakdown of what all the tiers mean and what you get and all that fun stuff. So again, thank you for your support and shout out to Ratcheteer Gang. If this is your first time listening, welcome. I hope that you follow us on social media. You can find us on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram at The Boonie Breakdown. You can follow us over on Twitter at Boonie Breakdown. All right. And just as a reminder, those of you who used to listen to the podcast on Stitcher or still listening to it, or Stitcher is gone or it's leaving soon. Google Podcasts is leaving soon. So let's try to migrate to another podcast app. There's so many. You got Spotify, you got Apple Podcasts. You can listen over on YouTube, Audible, Amazon Music. So it's some great options. So start to make that migration now before it just disappears and y'all shit out of luck. All right. So that is it for me. So let's get ready to break it down. Hey, y'all. So this week we got the homie Sheika. Hey, girl.
Hi.
How you been? It's been a long time since you've been on here.
It's been a very long time. I am fine.
That's good.
I can't really complain. You know, I've been minding my business, drinking my water. And yeah. It's
fucking me up.
What?
I'm with all the memes this week. How much daylight we saving or not saving? Like, I don't know. The first day after we set the clocks back.
Right.
Really had your girl messed up. It was the slowest day on earth. Like, I was looking and I'm like, okay, yeah, it should be 2 o'clock. And it was 10:30 a.m. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it should be 11 o'clock. Like, every time I looked, it was 4 hours from away when I thought it was, so.
Yeah, and I get off at 3, and it was definitely dragging for me. I've been falling asleep at like 8 o'clock every day.
I know. It's just such an adjustment because it's really just an hour, but it really is a mind fuck.
Hours earlier though. Like, yeah, I walked out from getting my nails done. What was it? A little after 5, and I was like, damn, the sun's setting. Like, shit. I had to put my car lights on to drive home.
Yeah, like it is such a mind fuck that I don't like it. It's literally just an hour. And I'm also, KG is going to yell at me because whenever he comes over here the next time is when my clocks on the microwave and stove will change. Like, I don't change them. Like, it's just too much to try to get them coordinated. It's too much. So
I haven't changed my microwave is blank. Like, I don't even do the time anymore. I don't care. I think I just changed the stove yesterday only because I was in the kitchen doing something and I had just looked at my phone, but I looked at the time and I was really fucking confused. And I was like, yeah, what's going on? I got to change my car too. I was looking at my car and I was like,
oh, God, I did change the car. But you know, Mama Ratchet got a new car, and I'm like, dang, these new cars real.
They automatically
hers was change? Easy. All she had, it didn't automatically change it, but when you went to time, it was a button, and you just hit off daylight savings, and it switched. I was like, it literally said daylight savings, and you clicked it, and it went off.
Simple. I think mine is simple too. But yeah,
I was like, damn, mine is old. I got to hold the H button for hour until it like.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Mama Ranch's car was just like daylight savings. Okay. And it flipped it. That was amazing. That's but cute. Yeah, no, life is good. I can't complain besides my complaining about the time like everybody else. But when I said, okay, I had been planning out my episodes, trying to do better so I'm not working at a deficit, and I was like, all right, I gotta squeeze Sheika in here. And then I was like, what are we gonna talk about? And then I have to pull it up because I was like, Sheika's coming on, I love it. And I'm going to the page now that was the inspiration. I should have had this pulled up before I hit record, but our good brother friend Duran Bernard, He had tweeted. I saw the tweet, but then I think he put it on Instagram. And of course, my Instagram doesn't want to pull up right now. But it was about the movie Love Jones.
I remember. I thought it was bad or something.
Yeah. And so I was like, that's what Sheikha and I need to talk about. We need to talk about A Shit That Hits Different, Love Jones edition. And Sheikha was like, I'm down. What platform is it on? I said, I just saw it on HBO Max. And this was a tweet. He said, one day y'all gonna grow up and admit Love Jones is terrible.
Yeah. So. Remember what I said to you? I said, I have not watched that again because I have a feeling I'm gonna hate it.
And I let the record reflect. I was never a big Love Jones fan. It's not a movie that of the black classics that I rewatched, because I personally, it was not a favorite of mine. But I don't deny, if people want to include Love Jones on the black classic cinema list, okay, you could put it there. I just have never been a big fan of Love Jones. In this rewatch, it confirmed I'm still not a big fan of Love Jones.
I was going to say, I don't think I was a big fan of Love, like, when it came out. Like, I don't know. It was something about it. I remember when it first came out, I probably watched it less than 5 times.
But you were also young as fuck. Like, we were, 13, 14 when it came out?
Yeah, but we should have been. I feel like I should have been more impressionable than just really.
Because here's the bottom. Here's the black ass bottom line about Love Jones. The shit is boring.
It is boring. I checked the time and I was like, when is this shit over?
That's what I did. Halfway, I said, why? Because I know the plot. I was like, it's still so much more of this movie left. This shit is boring.
I forgot the ending until the ending happened. I was like, oh, right. Because that was another thing. It just kind of like ends and you're like,
that was it?
I'll assume they're happily ever after, I guess.
I guess.
I don't know.
Or they broke up again, because that's what the fuck they did the whole fucking movie.
Yeah. Also, they both were terrible at dating each other. So it was just like, this is not sexy. Yeah. It just really wasn't.
It ain't had no drama. It was just like, at least like Soul Food, which came out around the same time and we were still young, it had drama, like people pulling knives and you fucking husband. It was like, whoop. Love Jones was just a boring ass movie. And so let's, you know how we do this.
We're going to rewind.
I also want to fucking say, as we're watching this and as you're listening to this, I am so fucking happy that I missed the whole poetry snap era.
Baby, because I took notes and I said, first spoken word artist is why I hate that shit now. I was
because the conference of your heart meets by thump.
I hate da, that. Da, 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 da.
What the fuck are you saying? I literally was like, oh my God, I am so happy I missed that era of black culture.
I'm glad I was not grown during that, because I was cringing. I was like, oh, how am I going to make it through this hour and 15 minutes? Because I hate this.
And even the conversations they were having as a friend group, I was like, nope. Body talks like this.
Yeah. I really wanted to be grown in the 90s, but
not in that.
Like, I didn't want to talk about, and I don't know how old they were supposed to be. I'm
assuming really
30.
I was thinking late 20s, early 30s, but here, okay, we're gonna put a pin in that because I could never really figure out how old they were. Even though I missed that poetry era, I just still also want to let the record reflect that artistic dick be bomb. It's kind of on that elite level, them artsy fartsy dudes. But okay, that's another conversation for another day.
I've heard some things. I don't know if I know for sure. I dick is very far off my mind these days.
We'll get to that a little later. So
I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was very like, it was just so much about this movie that just did not make sense. Like, okay. First of all, after they met, and then they were at the club.
Stop before they met.
Okay.
I have a question. Because I need to write this down. I didn't realize that Lorenz, one, did not have a shape up and his fucking shit was brushed back.
Okay.
Why was his hair brushed back?
Okay, let's talk about it. Because I wrote literally in my notebook, when did Lorenz get fine? Because he's not in this movie.
It wasn't giving.
Like all the other niggas in the line. All the other niggas in the movie I would have given pussy to. Even the drumline man. And he annoyed the fuck out of me too. Yeah. Lorenz was not fine in this movie. Like,
I was just really shocked his hairline was like brushed back. Like,
I kept looking like a Frank
Lyman type thing. I was just like, what's going?
Yeah, I wrote that down. When did he get fine? Because it wasn't in Love Jones.
Okay.
But I did write right above that, Bill Bellamy aged so well.
Oh my God, he looks so much better now.
He was good looking then. Like, I see why people liked Bill Bellamy then. But like, to look at 50-year-old Bill Bellamy.
Oh, he looks great.
He should be on Vintage List Meet. Like, he's a nice looking man.
I think he looks better older than he does in Love Jones.
Yeah, like, I was like, wow. Even Isaiah Washington. Like, I would have fucked him over Lorenz Tate in the movie, too.
Yeah, Lorenz just was not... It was very... I was just really shocked when they zoomed in. And I was like, huh, that's an interesting hair choice.
Especially when they were at the bar and it was the side profile. I was like, ooh, no. I wouldn't even look. I'd have been like,
Yeah.
Thanks. And then, okay, while we're talking about appearance, Lisa Nicole Carson, baddie.
Always in forever.
Baddie.
Always and forever fine.
Baddie. Like, I was like, I forgot. I know she had some mental health issues and that's why she left the industry for a while. But everything she was ever in, I was just always like, damn, she's bad. I only watched
Ally McBeal for her. I don't...
Yeah, she was just a baddie, man. Woo!
Loved her. Okay, so back to your thing.
So...
Okay. The hairline, I just couldn't let it go.
We had to get it back. So, right after they meet at the club, and he does his little trying to beat a funking your right, whatever. Woo! Snap, snap. They meet again. Star-crossed lovers. Who the fuck just needs an Isley Brothers CD? Now, I understand this is the 90s, and you just buy CDs, but she's like, girl, I need an Isley Brothers CD. I just thought that...
It was very random. I was thinking, and I didn't do the Googles at the time because I was really trying to pay attention. I get very distracted watching TV and on my phone. But I'm like, had the album came out that week?
Yeah.
But it seemed like it was an older one. But maybe she needed Isley Brothers because she was coming off of a breakup.
Look at you providing context, because I was just like, that is so random. Like, I was like in 97, like if she wanted, like, girl, I need a Mary J. Blige album. Okay. All right. But Isley Brothers just seems so random to me.
It was very random. And I was just like, I mean, I assumed it was some breakup shit. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. But then this was the this goes back to our whole, like, I think we said it when we rewatched A Thin Line Between Love and Hate.
Mm-hmm.
The stalker ass move he did with getting her address off the check and showing up to her house is wild.
Well, I would have released stalking in the 90s and currently.
He showed up to, if a man I saw out twice, right? We had an encounter at a bar and then I run into him at a store. And then an hour later, he's at my home. I'm not letting him in. I'm calling 911. She let him into her home.
We were so trusting. It was just a more trusting time. Because I was like, you know, there's this thing in the movies, you know, a couple of them. But I'm like, men really didn't have any boundaries and just a ton of audacity. I could not in my right mind go to somebody's house, like pop up at a nigga's house. That I don't know. Like,
say something. If that was reversed, we all types crazy. Of desperate and I'm crazy. I was like, niggas is wild. You went to her house. And his only concern was not that it was crazy, but what if a man was there?
Yeah.
He was like, oh, what if you're right? What if her nigga there?
Yeah. And on top of it wasn't just him showing up, because I do feel like Sheila, the girlfriend in the group, specifically told him no. So I feel like he snuck and stole the address and phone number and then popped up. I have beef with Sheila now.
Like, girl, because I gave that check to you.
That was shocking to me. For some reason, I didn't remember that. And I was just like, why would he stalk?
I forgot about that whole thing, too. I also was like, with the lens of now, what was the cost of living in the 90s? Because these motherfuckers was like, she worked at a record store. That's why I thought
maybe they were in their 30s. Because when I saw Nina's apartment, I was like, This is a nice apartment.
She was a struggling photographer assistant.
That's why I was like, maybe she's 30. I don't know.
And then Sheila's working at a record store as a cashier. He was a writer who quit his job to focus on his book. Clearly, Isaiah Washington was having financial problems because his wife left and was like, you're broke ass. So I was like,
they were in a recession. I wrote that Darius was moving like a hobosexual, because I just felt like, because he had quit his job and he was doing a writing thing, I was like, he's real pressed to be up in our home. And in this day and age, if you're really pressed to be up in my home and I wake up and you're making me breakfast, I feel like you don't have nowhere to live.
Yeah. And his house was nice, too, once they showed it. Yeah. I was like, it was a nice house. But definitely creeper stalker vibes. Like, what the fuck is going on? Maybe. And so then they have a first date. And so he took her to the
to his friend's house for a fucking kickback. That's why when he said like another date, I was like, hold on, nigga, you ain't never take her on no date. And that's why he said that shit later on.
She did say it later on. But he tried to follow it up later. Like, they went uptown to the little sexy dance place. No. Body rolling on each other.
No.
Okay.
We probably got in there free before 11. And we just danced. They ain't have near drink. They just danced.
They did. They did literally just grind on each other. But then they had first date sex.
Which is fine, but they didn't have a date. I just felt like he was doing way too much to be like, oh, let me take you around my friend group. Like, nigga, I don't even know you. What is this? But
when you say it like that, though, like, I legit stalked you for your address and showed up at your house so I could take you to my friend's house. Okay. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
This is perfect for me. Like, I love it.
You're right. You're right.
I mean, people say I ain't never been on the first date that wasn't no fucking date. Okay? Understood.
Now, was that sex scene, the sex scene where that you saw Nia's nipple?
A lot of Nia's nipples. Her nipples got everywhere.
Especially even when she was dressed. The first scene of nipples was like...
It came to my mind. I said, they were really putting Nia's nipples on display.
No, they were out there the whole time. The very first scene, they were like, pow. And I'm like...
In the wife beater. She was just like...
Her nipples were the third lead of the movie. I'm sure some teenage boys, that's why they watched the movie and why they fell in love with Nia Long that very moment. But, yeah. I mean, she's fucking stunning. I know we talked about Lisa Nicole Carson, but I just feel like it didn't have to be said that Nia Long is stunning. Like, we all knew it's Nia Long. But the scene after that, when her and Josie are in the cab, she was like, you slept with him. And she was like, yeah, his dick spoke to me. And she was like, what is that?
Right.
That scene, right. I was like, I loved it. And she was just like, his dick, it just talked to me. And I was like, well, bitch, you just said that. Like, you didn't say nothing else. She was frustrating me in the cab because she wasn't giving me enough juice. And then right after that, you know what happened? Because niggas going Nick, the ex showed up because those motherfuckers got radar. Marvin showed back up.
Like, I don't know. It was very strange for me, for him, because we didn't know who the ex was.
Yeah, they just said his name and she was packing up. Herself.
And then he just pops up and it's the nigga from Juice. And I was just like, oh. I forgot you were even a part of this. But also, why did she decide to go to New York?
He gave her a motherfucking train ticket. He didn't say here's a plane ticket fly. He gave that bitch a Chicago.
I thought it was Chicago.
When they were in a train. He gave her a train ticket to New York. But let's also just let the record reflect too. Khalil Kane, he's been fine for a long time too. He's been a
Even though he was off, I enjoyed him in Juice. He was off as shit, but I fucked with it.
Yeah, I enjoyed him as a little 90s vibe. And it's funny because I'm also rewatching Living Single, and it was a few episodes where he was Regine's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he shows back up.
Did he just ask her to come there? Because I don't remember. It was just like,
Girl, I miss you. Okay. I set up shop in New York. You should come out there because you're a photographer. That's kind of what it was like. Okay. I've been building for us. I miss you. And so she fucking him and she tell him, I'm going to go. I'm going to go to New York, but I want to be honest with you. They both just said that, right? It's not a love thing. We just kicking it. But they both was really feeling something. Instead of being honest, they were lying. And when she says, I'm going to New York,
honest about some things, which was so ridiculous.
And the things that they decided to be honest about was just like, I guess. Okay. So then she said, he's like, I'm going to play it cool. And he's like, go, I get it. We just kicking it. Ain't nothing. And then he immediately pulls up with a new bitch, Lisa. Immediately started fucking the light-skinned girl.
First of all, they both were stupid.
Immensely so.
Because, first of all, Nina, let me tell you something. If you were engaged, you moved on way too quickly. And if you're going to move on way too quickly, that means you cannot go back to your ex-fiance, nigga. You just can't. So I just didn't understand the thought process. And then it's like, you're going here for what? Because it wasn't like you were interested in being with him. You were quickly disgusted. You left the fucking ring on its pinky and left. And then he didn't want you to go. And I'm pretty sure she told him in being honest, but also and to see his reaction because
she wanted him to say stay.
Care. Yeah. And if he doesn't care, so then he's not being honest. So it's given he don't care. So you just go. And then it's like, you also came back and didn't say anything. Now, I do get it. She called before she left. He did not answer. She left a message. He just listened to it while the rain poured outside or whatever the fuck was going on.
Darius, it's Nina. I just wanted to... It was like the way that he talked in the movie. Yeah, it was just a lot.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to be at the train station at this time, just letting you know. And it's just like,
well, what am I supposed to do, bitch? I'm not getting on the train with you.
He didn't want to go stop her. She didn't want to not go. So I just feel like coming back and seeing him with a new bitch was expected. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, he definitely pulled up. And then she comes back and starts dating his boy. Now, where I was like, okay, girl, you really out of pocket. Because
that's the one part of the movie I actually remembered, and I just really didn't understand that.
Because it was like, you met him, so you knew exactly who he was. You met him twice with your nigga that you was kicking it with. So you knew, So
I didn't even like his personality. It wasn't like, oh, you picked the wrong friend. You were being spiteful, which was insane to me.
Yeah,
but I know how she rationalized it in her mind. She was
because they weren't together.
No, I feel like she was treating Bill Bellamy like a homie, like she was about to friend zone him.
No, she was. She was
friend zoning him, even though he took her on a date.
They didn't
friend zoning him.
They never showed them have sex, right? Like they showed him. They showed him court her, right? Like he showed up at her photography studio, like, take pictures, you're a photographer. And then they went out, and then Darius embarrassed him where they were talking about I can get employed. He was like, but the difference is you get fired. And I'm just like,
I leave the job. He leaves the job, you get fired. I was like, okay.
I was so tickled by that whole little analogy with Sheila sitting there, like, he told you. So I thought Bill Bellamy's character was funny though, because I was like, why is he driving a hearse though? Like, for
real. Well, he was driving, when he said he had a Cadillac in the beginning, I didn't expect it to be a hearse. And then it's like, you knew what you were doing. I just feel like everybody was fucked up.
No, that everybody was. Nobody was communicating.
Sheila and homeboy from Drumline. Everybody else was terrible people.
They were terrible people. Because then even Isaiah Washington shows up at the game night with a girl who wasn't his wife.
Who was his co-worker. It was his co-worker. It was his work wife. He'd bring his fucking work wife to
the work wife. Then
to several events, because it wasn't just the one. Like, I was just like, what is going on?
Then Bill Bellamy shows up with Nina at the house party, and Darius sitting there looking dusty. So that whole exchange was hilarious too, because girl, again, you knew he was his friend. And when he said, I'm taking you to a little, he didn't say kickback, but he was like, chill, it's gonna be good. And you pulled up at the house. Weren't y'all at Sheila's house before? I don't know whose house they were at. So I'm like, didn't you see?
Same house. I think she thought maybe Darius wouldn't be there. But it's just like, why would you go around with friends?
Yeah, like, that's his friend group. So then you got embarrassed and wanted to take me home. Can I see you outside? But that made me laugh because he was like, bye. And went back inside. And then he's like, you left her outside? So
rude.
That shit was funny. Okay, so they kind of reconnect again, and this time they really kicking it. They do a little happy love montage, and then it was like, fuck all this shit again. And this is the part where I was just like, you know what? People will really dig their heels in to spite themselves to prove a point, because then Josie calls Darius again. Like, hey, I'm just calling you to let you know, you know, she got this job interview with Vibe and da-da-da-da-da, it's going good. And he goes, well, why are you calling me with this? And she's like, I just thought you'd like to know. Do with it what you want. Click. And I said, he got real irate for no reason, because you knew you wanted that information. Because then what was you doing? Chasing after that train when it was pulling out.
You missed it.
And you missed it. Then it was just so much, because then they had the whole little encounter again. Oh, that was after he told her to leave, because she was like, I seen you with that girl. And he was like, what girl? And then he was like, Lisa. So I'm like, it was just all of these back and forth, these little childish games, because nobody wanted to communicate. But all that being said, I will agree that Love Jones is terrible. I don't like it. It's not for me. It really is not for me.
I just feel like the back and forth, it was like, I would have given up already, because I guess it was supposed to portray like, oh, they have been fooling around for like weeks now and all these feelings are involved. But like, honestly, I would have just been done. I didn't understand, because it was, and I can get the fantasy of, oh, you know, you go, you have sex on the first night, it's everything you wanted, we're clicking, we're vibing, but also there was some issues y'all had that I feel like maybe it was that we didn't get enough of their personalities.
Yeah. To
understand what their contention was.
The characters were very flat. Like, I know we just dissected the whole relationship because that's what we do, right? And so understanding Sheik and I both are aware of this is a fictional relationship, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, whatever. But just talking about the movie itself, the characters were super flat. You got no connection to none of them. It's like, we just knew very surface level shit about them and this really weird, shaky, on again, off again relationship with some friends in it. Like, even the only friend, like, the friends didn't really add texture to it much either. I don't know. It was just really weird. I don't know. I just
wrote that.
Was when that? I look at this movie again, I'm just like, they were playing games, but like, just the storyline was choppy at best.
Yeah.
The soundtrack was fire though, because you have my favorite version of the Maxwell.
Yes. Oh my God, I love that.
The mellow smooth version. Yeah.
Ooh.
So I love the mellow smooth version. And you got Lauryn Hill, sweetest thing. Like, so the soundtrack was
bumping in the beginning. Amazing.
But yeah, I just was like, and then people be like, you got to be grown to get it. No, the movie's flat. Like,
I think I liked it more as a youngster. I hate it as an adult. And I told you I might hate it, and I knew it. Theodore Witcher, who is the writer? I don't know who the writer is.
I don't know, because I bet you he ain't your shit else. Let's look it up.
Theodore Witcher. I have no idea who he is.
Who?
Theodore Witcher. He's the producer.
Oh, I bet you he ain't right now.
Is he white? Oh, no, he's black. Okay.
Wouldn't that be something?
He looks a little mixy.
He's probably one of them artsy-fartsy people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did Love Jones in 1997, Body Count in 98, and Damascus in 2023.
So he had no career. Like, he just got lucky that he had a good black cast with a decent soundtrack. Because Love Jones ain't it. The Siskel and Ebert review this. I would love to know what they said. But this one, I don't know, y'all.
It was hard to even be entertained. Like,
it was boring. Like, I literally paused it and went, because when I first text you, it was early. Like, all right, I'm starting.
Yeah.
When I text you, it was like 5 hours later, because I paused it for 2 hours because I was bored. You were sleeping.
I started when the sun, I was like, I'm gonna watch this when the sun is up, because I just feel like it's not gonna hold me. But it really didn't. And I don't know. Oh, Roger Ebert spoke to Witcher by Zoom to discuss his family. Oh, so this must have been something. They must have talked about it. Oh, because what was it, 20 years, 25 years? It was some type of anniversary they just had.
Oh, I just found the original Roger Ebert.
What did he say? Did he
gave it 3 stars.
Out of 5?
Yeah. That sound about right.
Sound about right, yeah.
I mean, it's a very long... it says, I think Witcher is trying to evoke the tone of that period when Bohemian was still somewhat secret, when success was not only measured by sales, and when fictional characters wrote novels instead of computer programmings. This is also the abode to the unconventional ending in the film. Many love stories contrive to get characters together. This one contrives not to keep them apart, but to bring them to a better, sweet awareness that is above simple love.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, we keep saying it just fell flat. And I really was hoping that watching this one as an adult, as we revisited and as shit hit different for this one, that I could be like, you know what? As an adult, I have a different appreciation for this, because we did that. Now, I enjoyed, you know, Thin Line Between Love and Hate, but it definitely had a different feel as an adult, because I was like, Randy was not the villain at all. But this one, I think I've dug in more that... I just dug in more that it's okay not to like the movies that other people like. And
it made me realize that this is why I didn't really think much of the movie then, because it is a little, it's like you said, the characters are kind of flat. It's boring. So it never was anything that I really felt like, oh, like, I think I thought about Love and Basketball more than Love Jones.
Now, here's the thing. Love and Basketball is one. We haven't done a Shit Hits Different on that one, but I watch Love and Basketball way more, even though I can acknowledge some of the problematic themes in that one, right? But
yeah,
I definitely watch Love and Basketball because at least it was enjoyable. It was an enjoyable watch. Love Jones is boring. I'm going to keep saying it. It is boring and dry.
Yeah. And
don't tell me you have
to be older.
I'm like, yeah, don't tell me you have to. No, this shit is boring.
Yeah. I mean, and love it if you do. Love it if you do. I barely watch movies anyway. I really only watch movies mainly when we do this. I'm just not a movie girl anymore. But when I was younger, I was. And this was one that I didn't really revisit. And it never stuck out to me then.
And you know who's going to give us a hate gram? Who? Kenny. So, Kenny, I know this is one of your favorite movies. Hey. Yeah. Well, you know what his IG screen name is.
Yes.
Don't choke. Don't die, Darius.
But you know what? Even in watching the movie the other day, it didn't register that that's what it was. Like, now I think, because now I can see the book title, like, you know, the cover of his book that he released, not Kenny, Darius Lovehall. But I that. Kenny, I'm so shocked. That is a terrible movie. I love you. It's fucking wild.
He's going to hate me for this.
But Kenny, yeah, that's my guy, but wow. I should text him.
Yeah. So I did look up the soundtrack. Yeah, Hopeless, Like a Penny with a Hole in It, The Sweetest Thing, I Gotta Love Jones for You, Something Something, The Mellow Smooth Cut, Never Enough, Groove Theory.
Yes.
Yeah, even the people on the soundtrack. Okay. You know what? I take that back. I was giving the soundtrack a lot of play, but I really only know the first four songs from this. Not the whole soundtrack.
The several articles I see was talking about the Bohemian Chic era, and you know.
But it is, because like, even the people on here, it's like Michelle and DeJellico, the Brand New Heavies, Duke Ellington. Oh, okay. Well, we know that. Duke Ellington and John Coltrane. I just saw one with Cassandra Wilson. So yeah, and at the time Maxwell was that very. This is after Maxwell only had one album out then, so he was still big care.
And yeah, you know, I was into that. I used to listen to Maxwell in my room all the time.
Oh my god, my mom loved Maxwell then. So
I was listening. I was taking my dad Maxwell CDs. I was very much into it, but yeah, this just didn't.
So yeah. So let us know. We know there'll be a lot of commentary. So when, after you listen to this episode, go on the Instagram page. There'll be some reels. I'm going to need you to go ahead and put a little comment in there, see if you agree with us. But that's our recap. And now, before we wrap up, I'm circling back. Why is Dick not on your mind? Do you have a pledge of celibacy? What's happening here?
I'm not even pledging celibacy. I just rather not be bothered. And it's not like, I don't like women, right? So I'm just not like going to like hop over to the other side or whatever. But I also am not liking men. I don't like the examples I see of them. I'd be tired of what the fuck they have to say. And I just don't want to engage. I think I told you like a month ago that I thought I was ready to like get back out there. No, I'm okay. I kind of just don't want to be bothered. And I think that's okay for me to just sit in that for a while, because I want to be enthusiastic. But I found my, like, if I catch somebody looking at me, I'm turning my head, because I just don't want to be bothered. I think that I gave it a great effort. I feel like the year of 2023, I really tried. I tried with niggas, and now I'm on a break.
That's fair. These niggas is exhausting. You know, I was just having this conversation, and then I saw something on the internet somewhere. I don't know what platform. It's so much that we ingest. And myself, I try to break it, and I can't. But it was talking about how they too are over men and dating, and it makes them sad because it's having to make a place for yourself to be happy while you watch other people like evolve around you was the conversation. And so it was saying like they want to be partnered and they want to be coupled, but it's not happening for them.
and they're so exhausted and drained with men themselves that they they just don't have it to give to make a relationship happen. And yeah. then they were like, on the flip side, I'm watching people around me having babies, getting married, starting relationships and families. Their life is evolving in a different way where we may not be able to spend time with each other in the same way. And so I was like, oh, this is heavy. So I go to the next video. And so she was saying she was struggling with, how can I keep the people around me who I care about close enough, but also have a life that's fulfilling to me while honoring it's not the life I thought I would have?
Yeah, because I'm experiencing that now. I mean, and it's not necessary. And I think it depends on your personality. It's not that's sad for me right now, because I don't mind being alone, but mm-hmm. I will say the flip side of that, because like friends have partners or children or both. I just spend a lot of time by myself, and mm-hmm. I'm for right now okay with that. You know, if there's things I want to do, there might be, I have to do that by myself. And I think I'm okay with that for now. You know, hopefully Sad doesn't come in and kick my ass. But for the most part, seasonal depression, guys. But for the most part, yeah, I've been fine. But there is a side of it that you'll be alone a lot and it might feel lonely. But I also think it's just a phase. Like, I don't think it has to be forever. But also, too, when you're looking at people around you, you don't know the inner workings of anybody's shit.
1,000% true.
So it might look great, but if you were in that same position, it might not feel great to you. I think we are all created to take what we can and bear what we can. I'm not no heat. I don't hate niggas. You know, I don't hate men or anything. But I do just don't feel like it, especially if you're not a certain type. Like, I think me being the type of person I am, I grant niggas a lot of grace. And I can be as understanding, easy to talk to, whatever. But the men I've come across, I don't even want to say take advantage of it, because I don't feel taken advantage of, because I pack up my things and I move on. But yeah, they will exhaust you of your goodness.
Whew. So
and the gifts you bring. So it's just like, I don't need that. I'm gonna pour it into me and the other people around me, but niggas, no.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting conversation that I was hearing into, but because then I read all the comments and it was a lot of women saying that they agreed with that. And I think for me too, I'm fortunate enough where I do have people in my life who are married and have kids. But the bulk are single and child-free. So it's not as stark. But even those who are married with kids, I still find space to connect with them. And so for me, I don't feel like when I watch them have these things, I don't feel like I'm mourning something I thought I would have, because mm-hmm. I never thought I would have kids, right? Like, right. That's never been a big wish for me. Now, I said to somebody, and they couldn't even bring themselves to admit it, because when I said it, I will say, though, I never thought I would be approaching 40 and unwed. Like, I thought by now, at least, I would have been with somebody.
For sure.
If it wasn't marriage, but we definitely would have been partnered and we're together. Yeah. I did not think. Now, that part I can say with my chest, that I did not think that I would be almost 40. And yeah, okay, I'm not 40 yet, because people keep saying it. So I'll be 39 next month, right?
Please relax.
I know.
Late ass birthday. Like, people I'm keep listening, like,
people are like, you keep saying almost 40.
Calm down. I can say it because I've been 39 since July, but you have got to relax. I'm like, what is she talking about?
Yo, people been getting on me. They're like, bitch, you ain't even turned 39 yet.
Right.
So, it's almost 40. No, but well, look.
Pushing it.
I'm closer to 40 than 30. But I really did not think I would not be here. And I think where I'm at with it is, to some degree, what would life look like if it doesn't happen?
Oh, for
and
sure.
I was talking to someone I was close with, and they were like, I can't even think about that because just that's just not an option. And so I'm like different in that respect. Like, and I won't even call this a worst case scenario because it's not the worst case, right? Yeah. It is the realistic possibility, yeah. Right? It's a possibility. So for so much of my life, I have shaped it around, at some point it would be two people and I'm still a solo. So, okay, now what does aging look like if you are solo? And I think that's a very realistic conversation to have, because you got a plan. As much as I'm a treat yourself YOLO kind of girl, you mm-hmm. still got a plan for that kind of shit. And so I don't know if I don't know what part of my chart does this, and I need to have a reading. But I feel like
really quickly while you say that.
I feel like as much as I keep being like, oh, I'm tired of these niggas, every time I say that, I then be like, because I don't know if it's a Sag in me. I don't know what it is. I'm literally a lover girl from the start. Like, I can fall in love with somebody in a week. I swear to God I could. I'm so like the possibilities, girl.
Libra rising is what it really is.
It might be the Libra.
Into Libra too. Libras do not. I have a Libra friend who's different from other Libras I know, but Libras do not be wanting to be alone for nothing.
Yeah, like as soon as we're in, I don't get so, what's the word? I don't get so delulu that I'm like, oh, this is this. But I do fall in head first. I'm all the way in love. And then it goes away.
Oh my God. I forgot your Venus, your Aquarius is in Venus too.
And my Mars.
it's probably that air sign shit that's in your chart. That's getting, I don't have much air in my chart. So. Okay. I have water and like earth and fire, but I'm a Cancer Venus. I'm a Virgo rising and a Leo moon. So it's just like, I should be more into it, but I think my Virgo and my chart kind of be like, bitch.
And it's like, I'm a Virgo moon too, but I be heart eyes emoji. Cause I'm gonna say his name again, Kenny. And like, I know he'd be like, this dumb bitch sometimes, because like when I first start talking to somebody, I'm like, oh my God, he's this, he's that. Like, I'm totally that girl, if y'all could not imagine.
Yeah.
Then once shit start hitting the fan, I'll be like, wait, hey. Now it's real quick the shit be shut down quick, yeah. Right? I'm not chasing. And if I feel like you not showing me no interest, then all right, pack up shop. But I do. I'm bad with it. And so
I'm very much like, oh, he's cool, but we'll see. Like, I'm very much.
I'd be like, no.
I'm going to see.
Even my friend Kim, I'd be like, oh my God. Like, he said we could. She'd be like, what?
I feel like I do not know this part of you.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. I have to.
You might share in the middle with me, but I do not know this.
I feel like Kenny and Kim probably get it the most because they're married. So I'd be like vetting shit through them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I think Kenny, he's a boy, and I know he just be looking like.
When I was younger, I did though. I thought everything was great. Like, I used to be so excited, and I think that's just, you know, getting older and the woes. I'd be like, child, I ain't even about to get too excited. But I will hope, you know, when I do meet somebody, I will be excited. Like, friends will be more excited than I am. And I'm like, girl, I don't know. Oh, yeah. Like, everybody calm down. We're going to see. But, yeah, I don't know. And I mean, I might be open after the winter. Maybe I'll just hibernate. I don't know. But, yeah, I much like you, I kind of just have been thinking, because I didn't expect to be single at this age, but yeah, and like single and not actively dating, because I'm not
that part. And then I'm also blame myself to some degree too, because my house is so comfortable and I love it and I pay a lot of money for it and I don't want to leave. So I'm not going to meet somebody here, because I'm definitely not doing the date naps, but I don't go out the house either. So I don't know how that's gonna work. I
still will take myself like maybe once a month, twice. It just depends. But like, I'll go sit at a bar by myself at least once or twice.
You
a
do month. Do that really well. I will commend you for that, because you.
I mean, that's what I've been meeting the last niggas I met. I met them when I did that, so it worked.
And lately. That is like a tip. It was like, you know, men are more likely to approach you when you're by yourself versus with another group.
It definitely works. I've had a couple of niggas doing that, but I just I've been doing that less because I don't want to meet y'all. Well, so there's I've been like not doing it as much. But if I go, like, I might just chit chat with somebody there, but I'll leave it there. Just we don't have to exchange numbers or anything. This was nice. Bye.
That's fair enough too. So yeah, I'm just curious. Let us know, because I know we're not alone. Because usually when you have these thoughts, other people are thinking it. Like, I just saw this whole thread. Not
I sent articles. Remember, you sent the article to the Discord, how women and married men are the most happiest people, which is fucking insane. Single women, I mean, and married men. It makes sense.
Single women and married men are the happiest people on earth. And it makes sense, because married men typically, not all, but typically don't carry all of the weight that goes with family
and marriage,
cultivating, right? And then single, we don't gotta answer the shit. We got money, we don't got no kids, I don't got no man.
Might eat dinner, might not, it doesn't matter.
And that's the thing, because I tell people all the time, like, I have afforded myself and developed a very comfortable, nice life for myself. Yeah. I have a nice house with nice things. I can treat myself to things when I want to, when I shouldn't. I can go on trips. I can do all of these nice things for myself.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like something's missing. It's just still that desire to be partnered, right? And so at this point too, I think it gets a little harder, because and I know this, it's more than this, but I feel like the things, I'm not asking for something of a man that I too do not already have.
That.
So.
I've never.
Me either.
In my life, I have never asked for something that I did not have of my own.
So that part is always disheartening when you hear men say these things, but yeah, it's just I at this point, to be coupled, there has to be something. It has to be value add, is I guess the words I'm looking for. There needs to be some value added here. And again, I'd be joking, like, the two income house, it would be a blessing. I ain't even going front, but even the value add of support for me taking out the motherfucker. Let me tell
you, Adrian, every week,
every fucking Monday night,
8 years, maybe damn near, I'm pushing 7 years, every Tuesday night. You know what's like, I'm gonna have to, this is so crazy, but
I didn't even say what it is, but you already know what.
Fucking trash out. I hate that shit. I hate taking out the trash in the recycling.
With a passion.
And it's, you know how my house is set. I ain't got to go that far. But I still don't like it. I got to push the shit down to the curb. I can't carry both with two
arms. And don't let me go on a shopping ordering spree. I got all these fucking boxes I got to drag.
I be having so many
bottles that I tried. The bar would be in hell right now, because if you just showed up at my house to take out the trash and recycling, I would be sucking it off the bone.
Let me tell you how I love my neighbor. I love my neighbor because baby boy pulls my shit into for me most days. Oh my God, there's something happening outside. I see sirens. Baby boy brings my trash.
My neighbor does too.
And then I'd be like, thanks for helping a bitch out because you know I'm in here by myself. And
yeah, he will put my can right at the garage door. So when I hit it, I just like drag.
He lines it up just like I do. But taking that bitch out is annoying. I hate it.
I hate the gathering of trash, the dumping it in the big can. I hate it all.
I realized growing up, I didn't have to take the trash out. That wasn't a chore of mine.
Yeah, so, I'm thinking my brother must have had to do that shit because I don't remember.
Like, when I was young, my brother. So it's like I've never had to take out the trash, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And it's not like, you know, some days I try to trick myself and be like, "Ooh, Tuesday during the day." I think I'll hate it less. No, I still hate it.
I still hate it. So yeah, that's on my list of value add if I would not have to take the trash out. But you definitely got to pay more than the light bill though. But if you could take out the trash, that would be helpful.
No, I know we are going over time, but I'm just thinking I hear these conversations about like splitting things and light bill only niggas. If the women make it more, and I'm just like, okay, I think because my parents have been married my whole life, I just assumed the way they did it seemed easier.
Oh, what do they do?
So I feel like the way it's always been, my dad pays the mortgage and some other larger bills. My mom probably does the utilities and like, my dad probably does cable or whatever, but my mom probably does the phone bill and the other utilities. And then I believe they file their taxes together and shit, but they like have their money and they together and then they have their own shit. Mm. And so it's like, if my mama, and to this day, if my mama want to buy her a $500 bag, she can buy herself. But then my daddy might gift her one too. It's just like, I've never seen the contention about
it. Like contention around money.
Yeah, because the big bills, like the larger ones, like for the instance, cars. He's if there's a car note, I'm sure he's paying that because she barely drives. And the mortgage and probably cable. And so it's like, that seemed very simple to me.
Yeah.
And they both did what they wanted to do with their own money. It wasn't like I dictate this or you dictate that. And it just seemed simple. Because I promise, nobody can move in here and expect me to still pay all of the mortgage. I'm sorry. I'm not.
So so as much as I say that, you know, I can't believe I'm still unpartnered, that is going to be a struggle for me because cohabitating and figuring that out. I do think that would be a struggle for me because that's how I would want to do it, right? Like,
yeah.
All right, you have your money, I have mine, and these bills is going to be taken care of. Like, but I also don't know if I would have enough trust in somebody just to he did it. Like, it would have to be some type of checks and balance here because I can never be asked out.
And I think that's another difference too. My parents' first house, they got together.
Yeah.
Into another house. So it's like things like that. It wasn't like, oh, one person's name is on it. So if this person's supposed to pay it, it's going to fall back on me. It was never that. Yeah, the trust thing, I've never lived with a man. So
me either. And so to be almost 40 and have to do it for the first time. Which is going
to be 45 at this point, and I would just be like, listen.
Let's keep your own shit.
Some new shit. Maybe we could be neighbors. We can live across the street. I like the house with the little medium with the skywalk. Come on.
Do y'all remember on Being Mary Jane when she was dating Shaza And she got upset because he was like, oh, I thought you would keep your house and I keep mine and we would have keys to each other's houses, but like, we not moving in. And she was like, no. And like, now that I'm older, it didn't bother me then when I watched it. But now that I'm older, I'm like, I really have an appreciation for that, because I would struggle because this is my house. And I wouldn't put it past my slick ass mouth for a motherfucker to move in here and say some shit. Nigga, that's my house.
I don't need to get out of my motherfucking house before, okay? I know me. Oh, well, you can get the fuck out then.
I've said it to some motherfuckers before too. So yeah, we would definitely, it would have to be a temporary situation because we would have to get something together, or you just keep your own shit. And it's funny because I do know an older married couple. They maintained two houses and they had no set schedule. But it was like, okay, some should go. Sometimes, you know, we were together a lot and then you needed your space. And, you know, I would say, well, I'm going to go to that house. Or he would say he would go, but they owned both of them. But they moved in between the two houses to give each other space. I wouldn't be mad at it. If we got condos on this, we owned this, the whole floor, and you had one and I had the other, I wouldn't be mad at it.
But I go to an apartment building or some shit, like, you know?
Yeah, I do think it's something to having your own space. Or if it is under one roof, then it got to be a bigger house so you can have your whole separate get the fuck away from me and I can have my own.
We have to do it together because I wouldn't want somebody to feel like, oh, they moved into my house just as much. I probably wouldn't want to feel like, oh, I moved into their house.
Yeah, at this point, it's very territorial because I'd be like, why the fuck is that piece of quartz right there? Because it go here. Why the fuck?
As you get older, you only get more and more stuck into who you are. So it's kind of like, yeah, it might look a little different and some compromise have to be made. But I'm not anti-living separately. And just because you live separately doesn't mean you're not going to spend a ton of time together, because you could.
Yeah.
If you didn't want to.
Yeah, so we say all that to say we talk big shit, but we mean that shit too. But again, value add is the game here with these partners that we hope to have.
The piece is untouchable. I'm sorry. The piece is hard to fuck with right now.
Because let me tell you something. When we finish recording, we're both going to sign out of this shit. Mm-hmm. And nobody's bothering us.
Nobody.
I don't gotta feed no babies. I don't have to put nobody to bed. I don't gotta give time to nobody, kiss nobody. And that is, some days I just be like, thank God that these things that I want is not my life, because I don't have it.
Go to bed at 8:30 today. I don't have to worry about nothing but me going to bed.
Still ain't ate dinner, and dinner might be Honey Nut Cheerios or Lucky Charms. That's all I got. Or if it's something in the freezer from Trader Joe's that I could pop, that may be it. But I don't do it. Weeks that I don't go to the grocery store. Like, it's so, there are benefits to being a single woman, because it's just me, my motherfucking self.
Yes.
So yeah, it made me sad reading that thread. That's how we got started. I can't lament on stuff like that too much, but I can acknowledge that I'm not where I thought I would be. That's fine to say. And two, I'm okay with where I am, because there are definitely some pros to this shit.
Yes.
And then three, still being hopeful that I'll get the things that I want. So
yes, I have not completely lost hope. I'm just not open right now.
Yeah, just right now, the door is closed.
Closed for winter.
Yeah. I always got my foot in that motherfucker. Even though I'd be like, fuck these niggas. I'd be like,
I'm not even gonna think like it. I will say I had my period of time. Most of the time when I'm on my fuck nigga crusade, I meet a nigga and then it's no more fuck niggas. But I think this time around it's a little bit different, because I don't necessarily feel like as harsh about it, but I just don't feel like getting to know somebody right now. I don't feel like anybody getting to know me right now. I don't feel like going through that process. And I'm okay with that. I'm cool. Because there was a time I enjoyed it. So I think it can be enjoyable. Just not. Yeah. I don't hate it. I just don't love it today.
No, that's fair. Man, that's fair.
But I love y'all.
And we love you. And guess what? This is my shameless plug at the end of this whole episode. I've been sipping out of, I'm going to say, shout out to the Ratcheteers who were like, you got to look. She got her I Am journal.
I wore my notes about Darius' hairline.
But I'm like, I had to, I had to create this because Ratcheteers were asking me for a water bottle or a tumbler. And finally, this last person did. And I was like, well, what do y'all want? Or like, what's saying? Because I was just going to make it custom. You know, I'll do that for people. And they were like, no, just put the podcast logo and put it on your website. And I was like, okay, y'all got a mug. And I love it because it has the straw and it's metal. So it kept it cold. And
how many ounces?
I think this one is 20. It's not a big one, but it's like a little small one. And it fits in the cup holder in the car. So yeah, I like this one. But that's my shameless plug. And any final thoughts? Because I feel like we did this long because we have not done an episode in so long. Brian and I did the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't done one. So.
And the movie was dumb. So I just feel like we went through the movie real quick.
We were like, Love Jones is Basura. Womp, womp. I really thought watching it, though, I was going to get a little more.
Yeah, I only had like 6 notes and I was like, wow, that's it.
That's but, it.
No final thoughts. Everybody, I hope everybody is safe and peaceful. And I just wish everybody the best, honestly.
Oh, you're
so whatever sweet. You're doing.
You're so fucking sweet. All right, Sheikah girl. Thank you, boo.
Bye.
All right, that is it for this week's episode. Again, I want to thank the homie Sheikah for coming on. Hopefully you all don't hate us and we got some people who agreed with us or at least could see our point about the movie. But please let us know your thoughts on Love Jones, all right? Also, be sure to support our sponsor for this week's episode, OMG Yes. Again, you want to click the link that is in the show notes in the booniebreakdown.com because each click, we make a little money. So thank you so much, even if you don't sign up. But I do hope you sign up because it really is dope. I've been playing around on there. All right. And if you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to listen, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, or any apps that you listen to your favorites on. Don't forget to leave those 5-star reviews over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You may hear one on a future episode. You never know. You never know. Follow us on all social media. Share the episode with those you love, those you don't love, those you fucking hate. I'm not paying for these reels for nothing, okay? Have a dope ass week. Stay healthy, safe, and sane. Thank you for listening. And remember, the ratchet in me, always honors the ratchet in you. Homaste. Until next time.